From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Look at the cash grain markets with Matt Bennett from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. And then we'll take up Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, and his legacy. Peter passed away earlier this week. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for a Thursday afternoon at the CME Group. The nearby December corn at $4.40 and a quarter, down 2.5 cents. March at $4.52 and a half, 2 3/4 lower. And the May contract at $4.61, down 2 3/4. July corn, $4.68 and 3/4, 2.5 lower. And December of next year, 1 3/4 lower at $4.83 and a half. November beans at $13.09 and 3/4, down 1/4. January, $13.03 and 3/4, 1/4 lower. And the March contract, 1.5 lower at $12.82. May soybeans, $12.64 and a half, down 1 3/4. July at $12.59 and a half, down 2 3/4. Next year's November beans, the new crop, at $11.74 and 3/4, down 2 1/4. Bean meal finished at $4.26. That's up $4.60. Bean oil at $41.13, down 37. The soft red winter wheat in the December at $6.96 and a half, down 5 1/4. In July, $7.04, up 0.25 cents. The hard red July at $7.43 and 3/4, down 2 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby October at $132.80 per 100 pounds, up a dollar. December futures were 12.5 cents higher at $132.87 and a half for the live cattle, and the feeders finished the October at $165.55, up 60 cents. And November futures at 67.5 lower at $166.95. That October contract, by the way, was down 60, not 60 higher. So, again, the October feeders down 60 cents today. December lean hogs, $89.60, up $1.45, and the February futures at $91.85. In the lean hogs, $1.65 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. The address again, willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil at $97.02 a barrel, up 16 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, in the November contract at $2.58 and a half. That's 3 2/10 of a cent higher. Ethanol futures at $1.82 and 6 cents, 2.5 cents higher. And the difference between the two is now 75 9/10 of a cent wide. That's 7 7/10 of a cent wider than it was yesterday. November natural gas at $3.63 and a half, 1 3/10 or 1 6/10 higher for the afternoon. And the diesel fuel at $2.89 and 8 cents, down 2 4/10. Gold futures finished $1,350.10 an ounce, up $16.30. And the U.S. dollar is down 0.08 at 79.18 at this time. Here's what the afternoon weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies and a high of 44 degrees. A west-northwest wind at 13 to 15. If you've been outside, it feels pretty bitey out there. Just a 23-mile-an-hour gust this afternoon, too. Tonight, widespread frost at after 1 a.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy and a low of 27 degrees. Widespread frost before 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Otherwise sunny. A high of 50 degrees tomorrow. Friday evening, clear and 34. Saturday, sunny skies and 58. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 34. Sunday, sunny skies and 53. Sunday night, clear and 35. On Monday, mostly sunny and 58. And Monday evening, mostly cloudy and 44 degrees. Tuesday, a chance of rain, 59 degrees. Tuesday evening, the rain continues and 46. And on Wednesday of next week, the rain may continue with a high near 56 degrees. That's a look at the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. Let's check how the trade ensued for the day and what the analysis might be with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, tell me about the trade over the last couple of weeks and what might have changed in your charts and your current considerations for both corn and soybeans.
Well, corn, really nothing's changed. If you look at the December corn contract, we've been basically tracking sideways for about 4 weeks in and around this, I think the low side's been 432 and the high side's been about 447. So we're kind of in the middle of that trading range with today's closes, and I guess I don't see any reason why it's going to really break out of that range, at least right now. I do think, though, there is maybe a round of short covering activity that's due to come corn's way. We're getting toward the end of the month next week, and the function of the market is to go where the orders are, and my guess is the orders, buy stop orders on the corn short corn positions are up there somewhere around 450, 452-ish, and maybe we could get a short covering rally going into the end of the month. So that'd be about my only hope at this time. I mean, harvest continues. The good news is I think that the big yields are worked into prices. I think that was kind of a given after you saw how the market performed there on Monday, Tuesday, when USA came out with their condition report showing big jumps in the good to excellent rating level, which basically implies or it confirms the better than expected yields that we've been basically hearing ever since harvest began. So the market failed to go down on that news. So I think the trade has spent here about 7-8 weeks getting good and short for a bearish report. Didn't have one in October. We'll see whether or not November gives them, you know, what they want. Now, the thing in November, we will have some harvested acreage changes, there could be some surprises in that, and I guess they could probably go either way on that one, but I'm more inclined to think there are going to be surprises more so on the lower side of the equation than on the higher side of the equation.
Just to clarify a point, I did see a conversation via email with Joe Persaki asking whether the rumors that USDA would not be updating the FSA numbers in the November November crop production report are true. Apparently, there are some rumors out there. Joe said, no, that's not right, that they will change or at least update that number. He didn't say whether they change it, but, of course, it would be included in the November crop production report. So if anybody's thinking about that one, we can put that rumor to rest because we have seen confirmation from Mr. Persaki that, of course, that's going to be included. When we get a 10-cent jump in this marketplace for corn, if we do, does that offer, do you think, a market opportunity for producers for corn, or should they wait out through the November 8th crop production report?
That's a good question. If I could get the market to rally, pop above this 450 area between now and the end of the month or the first few days of November, next week we should see a pretty good export sales announcements. Maybe something else comes along. I would use the opportunity to move inventory. Now, to what extent, I think each individual has, they kind of know how much cash flow they need by the end of the year. They know how much storage space that they don't have room for on their inventory. The trade is basically waiting on us as we go into the last third of harvest. And kind of feel that a lot of the bins will fill up by then. Storage commercial elevator storage will fill up by then, and then we'll see a break in the bases. So if you're harvesting here and you know that you don't have room for all of your inventory, and or you know that you need to sell some of that inventory for cash flow purposes before the end of the year, I would take advantage of a 10-cent pop here in the corn futures market while the basis levels are fairly respectable compared to where they could be, and move that inventory now rather than toward the end of harvest. Now, once you get in, if you're willing to hang on to it all the way into next summer or next spring, well, then, you know, that's altogether different game. I mean, that's you're going to have to hope that maybe something goes wrong in South America that gives you a boost. You may hope that something happens in the Black Sea area. And both those regions are having some weather problems. And it does look like, you know, our export demand may be a little better than what everybody thought it was going to be maybe 30 days ago.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. He joins us on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural marketplace. You can always hear him again at willag.org, or you can just dial into this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. You know, over the last, four decades or so, Peter Levitt has volunteered his time to this radio station, the public radio station WILL in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Many of you will know his voice. Some of you will have made note that he's not been here as much as he should have been over the last couple, 2 or 3 years. There was a point at which he broke his leg, and then earlier this week, Peter passed away. What you may not know about Pete Levitt is that he is an industry giant. Some have dubbed him the father of agricultural meteorology. If you've seen the Weather Channel on television, it was spawned out of a corporation that Pete founded back in 1978 called WSI. It develops the data that drives almost all meteorology today. Paul Baer, who is still a software engineer at WSI, was hired by Pete in the 1970s to begin that process. I called him yesterday and talked to him just a little bit about Pete and his legacy.
So in the summer of 1976, I got a call because and ultimately talked with Pete because He spent most of his career, almost all of his career, working for Weather Services Corporation, which was a weather forecasting company in Bedford, Massachusetts. He and another man, John Wallace, were the two owners of Weather Services. And in the summer of 1976, when I was in graduate school, in computer science, I got a call, and I went and visited Pete, and they had this computer that they were using just a tiny bit to process some weather data. And Pete had this idea that the computer really had a lot more potential for doing useful things with weather data. And he hired me as a summer job to go in and do some stuff with that computer. Over that summer and the next two summers and part-time during the year, I did work on that computer system and put together what was a tool for the meteorologists at Weather Services to use in preparing their forecasts. And in 1978, Pete and a few other people decided that the system was sufficiently useful for the people internally that it must also have some potential for being useful to people outside. And WSI was spun off as a separate company to market the computer system and the weather data that we had to outside people, to TV stations, to agriculture interests, and aviation interests. And I've been with WSI ever since.
So it was Pete's idea and your expertise, along with his, I assume.
Right. His weather expertise, my computer expertise, that got things started.
So together, you changed the industry.
Yeah, I think so. But
what caused Pete, do you think, to look at the computer in that way?
Yeah, they had the computer before I got there. And as I said, there was just a little bit of this little program running on it, doing some little bit of processing of weather data. And Pete himself had written that program, even though he had never done any programming before. I think he just had a gut feeling that first led them to get that computer at all, and then led him to believe that there was a lot that could be done with it that they weren't doing at that time.
Others that are his colleagues call him the father of agricultural meteorology. Is that an apt term?
As far as I know, I remember the first summer I worked there that I was the company Weather Services was in this old house in Bedford, and there was this addition off the back of the house, a one-room addition that had the agricultural meteorologists, and the computer was near where they were. So that first summer, I sat at this table near the computer, and about 10 feet away from Pete's desk, and I was just thinking back earlier today that there was a chair at Pete's desk, but he didn't sit in it very much. He seemed to spend most of his time standing up and on the telephone talking to people at Continental Grain and other people involved with the agriculture, telling them what the weather was like in Russia or whether it's going to be a freeze in the orange growing part of Florida or whatever. And I can actually picture him that he would sit down and take his glasses off and study a weather chart to get some ideas to what was going on with the weather.
He loved weather. He loved sports. And one of the things he talked with me about often, but not on the air, was that he loved to go out into the field. He each and every year, for decades it seems, went out to the wheat fields of Kansas and went on the wheat tour. I don't know how he managed that.
I've never heard that story.
Oh, well, this may have been after his retirement, because I would guess up until 2 years ago, Pete was still going to the wheat fields of Kansas on the wheat tour. And seeing that. And I would call and he'd say, I'm not going to be here for the next 2 weeks. because Mimi and I are headed to Egypt. It's the best place to view the full eclipse of the sun. And he did.
Yeah, he was really into that. I remember that.
He did that twice with me. He went to China, and he went way out in the outback to do that because it was the best place to see it. And I think he actually had, I'm pretty certain about this, a tourism company to do it.
Yes, he did set that up, yeah, along with his son, I believe.
So some amazing things about Pete. What do you remember most about working with him? How was it?
He was always full of ideas and, as I said, never sitting down.
Opinionated?
About the weather, that's for sure. He was a big supporter of the work I was doing early on with the computer, and so that by the computer that we had at the very beginning, I actually still have it sitting on my desk here, though it doesn't work anymore. The technology of it included the fact that the entire memory of the computer was 48,000 bytes, unlike the typical computer today that has 4 billion bytes. And by the end of the first summer, as Pete saw what potential there was in the computer, he was able to talk his partner John Wallace into spending the big bucks and getting a more powerful computer, a computer, of course, that has nowhere near the power of your telephone these days. But they actually spent $30,000 on this new computer, and back in those days, it actually, from the time they placed the order, it took 8 months before the computer was delivered. So Pete pushed his partner out on a limb to spend all that money to get a new, faster computer. And by the end of the next summer, every meteorologist in the company had a computer terminal on their desk that they could use to look at the weather data and prepare their forecasts.
He was truly a pioneer.
He was.
He will be missed.
And he was so enthusiastic about the weather and anything he was involved in. He was very enthusiastic.
Paul, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Paul Baer works as a principal software engineer for the company Peter Levitt founded in 1978, WSI. You can see a photo of a different but the same model of the original computer Levitt used to revolutionize weather forecasting on our website at willag.org. Levitt passed away earlier this week after a battle with cancer. He was 82. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural markets and the cash grain with TGM's Matt Bennett.
It's National Bologna Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1836, Alonzo Dwight Phillips patented the phosphorus friction safety match in the U.S. By the time of the Civil War, about 1 million matches a day were being produced. In 1861, the first transcontinental telegraph was completed and went into operation. The first message went from Justice Stephen Field of California to President Abraham Lincoln. By the way, the Pony Express, up to that time, the fastest communication between East and West, shut down just 2 days after Lincoln received the message. In 1929, it was Black Thursday on this day, the first day of the panic-driven stock market crash that hastened the Great Depression. Black Thursday was actually the first day of a three-day crash in Wall Street. In the days leading up to Black Thursday, the market was severely unstable. Periods of selling and high volumes of trading was interspaced with brief periods of rising prices and recovery. By the way, the Dow did not return to pre-1929 levels until late 1954. And in 1939, employees at DuPont's factory in Wilmington, Delaware, purchased the first nylon stockings for sale in the U.S. They were available nationally in May of 1940. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us now from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, is Matt Bennett to look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers back in the field yet today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been fairly busy. We didn't really get much precipitation here overnight. I mean, just really wasn't anything going on here.
And so what's the corn look like coming in?
Oh, you know, it's pretty good shape. I would say for the most part it's dry, but then of course we've got several guys coming in that still got some moisture, and then of course some replant mixed in, and so we're probably getting about, oh, I don't know, two-thirds dry corn. The rest of it is 18 or better.
Yields holding strong?
Yeah, we've heard nothing but I would say average to above average. We've heard some really good yields, of course, but there's been some that haven't exactly been stellar as well. So I don't know. I think for the most part, guys are pretty happy.
Zwicker told us earlier in this program that he thought maybe there could be a short covering rally that could put a dime on the marketplace. Would basis follow it, or would it widen?
Well, that's tough to say, but at this point, basis has held in there relatively strong. In fact, it's actually improved a little bit for us locally, and I think maybe some of these guys haven't been able to source the grain like they thought they were going to be able to. But as you know, anytime we get some sort of a rally like that, it's usually a good time to weaken the basis a little bit. But yeah, I don't know if that's gonna materialize or not.
So right now, are they having a tough time because the local bins are just filling up and they're not?
Well, every farmer in the countryside, anywhere that I know, had empty bins going into the fall, and every single one of them guys has filled every bin that they've got.
Is that the right thing to do?
I don't see a big problem with that. With the bean market, I have a hard time. I have a hard time storing beans in the situation that we're in, especially for a long-term rally. I don't see it happening. On corn, it's anybody's guess. But I think in the short run, corn may struggle just a little bit. So I don't know. It may not look good for a while, but maybe it'll pay off in the end. It's tough to tell.
And what are your bids for the day?
Oh, 423 for cash corn, 434 for Jan, 1292 on cash beans, 1298 for Jan.
What are your hopes for the 2014 crop? Anything?
Oh, that the prices go up. I think that insurance price is something that we all need to keep a really good close eye on. And I think that if we do get a bump in this market, I think that 14 is going to follow it to an extent. And I would be a willing seller and maybe lock in anything close to $5 on the board or above, I think would be a very good hedge, at least against your insurance price, and maybe a long-term hedge anyway.
Put your farmer hat on. How are fertilizer prices holding up?
Oh, fertilizer prices are pretty reasonable compared to last year. I think cheaper. Most guys are experiencing that. And I think, obviously, whenever I look at the ratio between new crop corn prices for next year and fertilizer prices, it's not quite as advantageous as what it was last year. But it still looks like it might be a decent, you should still maybe lock in a little bit of profit by selling a little bit ahead of time, but nothing like we had last year. But fertilizer prices are much more affordable than what they were, so I don't know. That's one good thing to look at.
Hey, Matt, thanks so much. Tell your farmers to stay safe out there.
Yeah, definitely. I hope everyone stays safe and gets some rest.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. To wrap it up, to take a look at the cash grain market, you do say stay safe out there on the combine. Get a chance, pull over, take about a 15-minute nap. It helps out. It'll keep you working longer and keep you working safer. I'm Todd Gleason from University of Illinois Extension.